Praise the Lord and welcome to another broadcast in today's Nugget in the Word podcast with Evangelist Sharon Johns. The date today is December the 4th, 2018. And today we are going to be looking in the book of Isaiah. And we're going to be looking at chapter number 9 of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is considered to be the messianic prophet, amen, because he prophesied concerning the soon coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So he's often called or referred to the messianic prophet, amen. So we're going to start with verse 1 in chapter 9 of Isaiah. And we're just going to give you a little nugget out of this book of Isaiah. Verse 1 of chapter 9 of Isaiah reads, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations." Verse 2 says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire." Verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of reason against them and join his enemies together. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Now, what we just read was Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through verse number 21. And I just want to give you a little background as to what was going on, amen, with the children of Israel. The children of Israel had turned away from God. They had turned unto false gods and false idols, amen, and began to serve false idols and false gods instead of serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jehovah God. And because they turned away from God and would not turn back to him, even though God pleaded with them time after time after time, again and again and again, to turn back unto the Lord, amen, God caused judgment to come up on his people. And the judgment that he caused to bring up on his people was other nations to come against them, amen, and to overtake them and overthrow them and to spoil the children of Israel. Now in this chapter, in chapter 9, we see a ray of hope when we read the first few scriptures down to about verse number 7. We see a ray of hope because God is promising to send, amen, a savior, a redeemer, to redeem his people back to the place where they should be in him. Okay. Verse number 6 in Isaiah 9 says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, who is the Lord speaking of here? God is speaking of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son that he sent into the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." Verse 7 says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David." Remember, David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. And God established David's kingdom and David's throne to be a lasting throne and a lasting kingdom. And he did that when he sent his son Jesus, amen, to reign forever upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So God is letting Isaiah know that even though the children of Israel was in such a state where they had forgotten God, where they had turned their backs on Jehovah God, even though they were in this state, God still was merciful to them, and he was still merciful unto his people that he loved so, amen, to send a savior, to send the Messiah, okay? And so God sent the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and we can see that fulfillment of him coming in the book of Matthew and also in the book of Luke. Jesus Christ came as, amen, the sinless Son of God. He came as a lamb, a perfect sacrifice that was to be offered up on the cross of Calvary for the sins of mankind. His blood was going to be shed so that we might be able to come to him and to be saved, amen, as we turn our lives over to him. So that is a ray of hope. And we know we're living in a time now where America, especially the Western world, celebrates, a lot of people celebrate Christmas. Christmas is not about toys. It's not about the Christmas tree and all the decorations and all the trimmings. But Christmas, represents Christ coming into the world as a baby in a manger, amen, and then laying down his life for you and for me so that we would have an opportunity to be saved, amen. And so this is good news today. We have good news today. Just like good news was given to Isaiah, God has extended, amen, grace unto each and every man, woman, boy, and girl today. That is the good news of the gospel. That is what Christmas is all about. It's Christ must. Christ must. Jesus had to come because we were in such a sinful state. Amen. The enemy of our souls had us bound, amen, and had us caught up in sin and degradation, and Jesus had to come to deliver us out of our sin. So we thank God that God, even from the beginning, every prophet that prophesied in the Bible prophesied concerning the coming of Christ. That's what the Old Testament is all about. The Old Testament was, it was nothing more than a tutor for us to bring us to Christ. Amen. And so Jesus has come. He laid down his life for you and for me. He shed his blood on the cross for you and for me in order that we might be saved. Amen. So we see the condition that Israel was in. Israel was in a pretty bad condition. They were in a backslidden condition. Okay, but God was allowing them time to come to repent and to get things right with him. If you read, I believe in the first chapter of Isaiah, it talks about how that he said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. So he was letting them know that, look, my chosen one is coming, and he's coming to lay down his life for you, you, and you, in order that you might return unto me. God is calling for a people today to return unto him. We know that in I believe it's in the Gospels, it talks about how that Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. In John, the first chapter, Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, God came to his own. He came to Israel to save Israel. Amen. And the inhabitants of Israel. But because of their rejection, he turned not completely away, because there's going to be a time when God's going to turn back to his own people, the Israelites. But he turned unto the Gentiles to allow the Gentiles time to come in and be saved. And so this is the day that we have the opportunity to come in through the door of Jesus Christ and be saved. There's no other way to be saved. You can't be saved calling on Buddha. You can't be saved calling on Muhammad. You have to be saved. You have to come through the door, which is Jesus Christ, in order to be saved. Amen. Amen. So God, in his mercy, he shows us in here that he is a merciful God. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God was merciful unto his people. He was long-suffering unto his people, the children of Israel, and allowing them to come and to repent and to turn back to him and turn away from their wicked and their sinful ways. And he's merciful to us today. Amen. God is allowing us time and space right now to repent and to believe the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have every opportunity right now to be saved according to the word of God. Salvation encompasses repentance. It encompasses being baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. It encompasses being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And that only comes, amen, through God. The God will send the Holy Ghost like he did on the day of Pentecost. And we must live a sanctified life, a holy life before a holy God. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is not looking for sacrifices of bulls and bullocks and goats and all those things that he did in the Old Testament. Because why? Jesus became the sacrifice for us. We don't have to offer up bullocks. We don't have to offer up goats anymore. Amen. The priests and the high priests, they don't have to offer up those things on behalf of the sins of the people anymore, because Jesus Christ is our sacrificial lamb. So we must accept him by faith. We must accept the plan of salvation by faith. And then we must follow, amen, what God has given us according to the word of God in the book of Acts, the plan of salvation. It's simple. It's just like baking a cake. It's just like a recipe. If you're going to go and bake cookies, if you want those cookies to come out right, you got to use the ingredients in the recipe. God has given us a recipe to follow in order that we might obtain salvation. And that recipe is in the book of Acts. Amen. Acts, the second chapter, where Peter, a man who preached his first sermon to the devout Jews, and he told them, they asked, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's Acts 2:38. Look it up, read it, study it, meditate upon it, follow it, be obedient, and you can obtain salvation. Amen. There's no other name in Acts 4:12, given unto heaven among men whereby we must be saved, but at the name of Jesus. The word of God says that whatever ye do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of the Father by him. Everything we do is to be done in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus. So in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, we see how the Israelites and the Lord talked of it. God talked of the things that would come up on them, how they would be judged by the Philistines, and how they would be devoured by the Philistines, and the Syrians would come up against them and smite them because of their hard-headedness, their stiff-neckedness, their disobedience, and their rebellion. Okay. God allowed this to happen to Israel because Israel turned away from God. They walked in disobedience. They walked in idolatry. God is calling us to come out of those things. He's calling us to come out of sin. Amen. He's calling us to turn our back on the things of the world and to turn our hearts 100% wholeheartedly unto him. We ought to do a 180-degree turn from our old ways, our old path. The things that we used to do, we shouldn't be doing those anymore. Once you come to God and you repent, you turn away from all those things. You leave those things and you turn unto God. And this is what God was calling his people to do. He said in the word of God in Isaiah 9, it says, therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. In 70 AD, Israel fell. It was brought down. It says, for the leaders of his people caused them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. The leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. The Bible says, how can the blind lead the blind unless they both fall into the ditch? Today we have preachers that are preaching erroneous messages. They're not telling people they need to be saved or how to be saved. They're just giving them a message that tickles their ear enough so they can get money and prestige. But the message, amen, during the early church in the book of Acts that was taught, that was preached, that was believed on, that was received, is the same message that we have to, amen, embrace in order to be saved. Don't let somebody tell you that you don't need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost like they did on the day of Pentecost. We are still under grace, the grace period. And the same way that the apostles got it is the same way that we must, amen, receive salvation. You have to study the scriptures. The Bible said the Bereans, amen, they study the scriptures daily to see if those things be so. Weigh everything that anybody teaches you against the word of God. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask the questions and get the answers. And then when a preacher or teacher, an evangelist, a prophet or prophetess, so-called, give you a message or tell you what you need to do, and if it doesn't line up with the word of God, then you know that that's a false teacher, or that's a false preacher, or a false prophet or prophetess. Amen. Weigh it against the word of God. Don't take their word for it. It says, therefore, in verse 17, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. And for all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Listen, God hates sin. God hates sin. And his, amen, antidote for sin is the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is the antidote for sin. It's time to come in and be saved. It's time to serve God. Amen. And it's time to turn unto the Lord and be saved. So this is our message today. There's still hope today. There's still hope, because we have not been taken out of this world yet. God is allowing every man, woman, boy, and girl space and time to come in and be saved before time winds up. So I implore you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you have not experienced salvation by way of being baptized, born again of the water and of the Spirit, experiencing the new birth, I implore you to come in and be saved. Accept Jesus today as your personal Lord and Savior. Go to a church and find somebody that's able to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cry out to God and ask God to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's going to happen. Amen. You will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues. Read Acts, the second chapter. It's just like a baby. When a baby is born, the only way the doctors know that that baby is alive is they pat that baby on the behind, on the rear, and that baby screams out. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you are going to cry out, Abba Father, in a new language, in a heavenly language. Today is your day. Today, God is extending his hand of mercy to you to come in and be saved before it is too late. I hope that this helps somebody. I hope that instead of focusing on the Christmas tree or focusing on the festivities around this time of year, that you focus on the most important gift that you can receive. And that is the gift of salvation that only God, the Father in heaven, have sent to you and his son, Jesus Christ. Won't you be saved today? Isn't that great news? God bless you and thank you for listening. Praise the Lord and welcome to today's nugget in the Word with Evangelist Sharon Johns. Today's date is December the 5th, 2018, and we are going to be looking into the Word of God in the book of St. John. We're going to be reading in your hearing tonight, verses 1, chapter 14, verses 1 through verse number 31. That is St. John chapter 14, verse 1 through verse 31. It reads as follows: Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus saith unto him, Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let's us go hence. Now I've read in your hearing tonight out of the King James Version of the Bible, verses 1 through verse number 31 of St. John chapter 14. And tonight we are looking at a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples at the time, who later on became the apostles. Amen. These are the 12 disciples that Jesus chose while he was here on earth, fulfilling his 3.5 year ministry. Amen. He chose them, and the majority of them were fishermen. That was their occupation. Okay. But Jesus chose them to carry on the work of the kingdom after he would be taken back up into heaven out of the world. So in verse 14, chapter 1, he is giving them encouraging words, and he is letting them to know to let not your heart be troubled. He said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, Jesus knew that his time was getting short for him being up on the earth. He knew that his time was coming for him when he was going to have to get ready to go to the cross and be crucified and be slain and be hung up on the cross. Amen. For all the world to see. And so Jesus is giving his disciples comforting words to let them know, to let not their hearts be troubled. If ever we need to hear comforting words in the time that we live and the things that we face today, it is now. Amen. And we can find comforting words in the Word of God. The Word of God itself gives us comfort for these trying times that we live in. The Bible lets us to know that in the last days that perilous times are going to come, and we are living in perilous times. And that word perilous means hard times. Okay. Troubling times. We are living in troubling times, but we as people of God, we that have been born again of the water and of the Spirit, amen, we can find comfort in the scriptures, knowing that regardless of what goes on in the world today or what happens in the world today, that God is a God that is still in control. Amen. And that his word is being fulfilled just like it said it would. Okay. Jesus already let us know that these things were going to take place, that wars and rumors of wars were going to take place, that pestilence and different things that were going to take place upon the earth. And we do not have to let our hearts be troubled because of the things that we hear and the things that we see. But what we need to do is we need to continue to have faith in God, and we need to continue to build up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost and also in the study of scriptures of the Word of God. We as people of God can be excited about the times that we live in instead of being afraid, or instead of allowing our hearts to be troubled or fearful. We can be excited because why? The Bible is being fulfilled in this day and time. Amen. Prophecy of the Word of God is being fulfilled. And so Jesus, his return, the rapture, and the things that are going to take place is going to happen soon. So we can rejoice in that. And the Word of God gives us comfort. And this is what Jesus was doing with his disciples, because he knew that he was getting ready to leave them. He knew that he was getting ready. His time
amen, for him to go and be crucified and killed and slain and hung on the cross. He knew that that time was coming. It was very, very near for him. And he wanted his disciples to take comfort, amen, to take heart, not to fear the things that were going to happen, because these things were already prophesied in the Old Testament concerning the things that he was going to suffer. He was going to have to suffer. Amen. And so Thomas asked Jesus a question. One of his disciples, we know Thomas as Doubting Thomas, and how Thomas did not believe after Jesus was crucified and he showed himself to his disciples and Thomas wasn't there. He ended up getting the name Doubting Thomas because he did not believe that Jesus had come back or rose from the dead and appeared unto the disciples until he showed him the nail prints and the scars in his hands. Okay. And so Thomas said unto Jesus, he said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus reassured him in verse number 6. It says that Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus reassured Thomas that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. So when you have Jesus, you are walking in the way. You are walking in the truth and you have life in him. Okay. Because only Jesus Christ gives life. Only Jesus Christ is the way. There's only one way to heaven and you can only get there through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to God and you can only get to God through Jesus Christ. Okay. Jesus Christ is life. He came into the world and the Bible said that he is life. Okay. And he gave life unto men, unto me, unto you. He said, no man can come unto the Father, but by me. You cannot get to God unless you go through Jesus Christ. That is just the bottom line. You can't get to God any other way. There are not many paths and many ways to God. There's only one way, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. He said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Now, when I read this scripture, it kind of reminds me of a little child a young child that comes into being bullied by an older child, and how that child sticks up and says, if you mess with me, I'm going to go get my daddy and tell my daddy on you. And I'm going to bring my daddy in. My daddy, he going to take care of you. And it kind of remind me of that when Jesus spoke this to Thomas. And he said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. When you know Jesus Christ, when you have a relationship, come into relationship with Jesus Christ, you have the Father. Okay. Jesus Christ is the exact image of the Father. Amen. So when you have Jesus, you have the Father. When you know Jesus, when you have a relationship with him, you have a relationship with God Almighty. Amen. Amen. And Philip then comes after Thomas and he saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, he said, have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So Jesus was putting their doubt to rest of who he is. Amen. So now Philip wanted to know if they could see the Father. But Jesus said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father, Philip. He said, have I not been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me? Okay. He said, Philip, he that have seen me have seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Amen. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, manifested in flesh. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he's also God manifested in flesh. The Bible says that without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Amen. So Jesus and God are one. Amen. He said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So Jesus spoke a lot to give clarification to the believer that he and the Father are one in the same. Jesus Christ and the Father is one in the same. God had to robe himself in flesh to come down. Because why? God is a spirit. And we cannot look upon the spirit. The Bible said no man have seen God at any time and lived. No person have looked upon God at any time and lived. So the only way for God to be able to send a sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice, he had to robe himself in flesh and come down from heaven, embodied in flesh, in Jesus Christ, his son, to die up on the cross. A spirit cannot die. So it had to be flesh that was able to go to that cross and be nailed on that cross and die for the sins of the world. Amen. So that is how Jesus and God is one. Jesus is the Son of God, but yet he's God incarnate. Now, verse number 12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, when we believe on Jesus Christ, amen, then the greater works, there's greater works that we are going to do. When you look in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the believers were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And Pentecost means 50th. When they received the Holy Ghost, then they went out and signs and wonders followed them. Okay. They laid hands on the sick. They did a lot of the same things or the same works that Jesus did. The man that was at the temple during the hour of prayer, when Peter and John went up to pray, and he cried out because he wanted alms from Peter and John. And Peter looked at him and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." See? So they did greater works. Amen. And we too, the body of Christ, today have been empowered through the Holy Ghost, the indwelling Holy Spirit, to do greater works today. Amen. Just like they did during the early church. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." Okay. He said, "If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments." Okay. So if we love the Lord, we have to keep his commandments. The Bible says that his commandments are not grievous. So when you love God, when you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to do what he said do. Amen. Because he told us in the word of God, not just to be hearers, but to be doers of the word as well. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Jesus told his disciples, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Okay, so what was he telling them? He was letting them know that even though he was getting ready to go away, even though he was getting ready to go to the cross and be crucified and be nailed to that cross, a bloody cross for the sins of humanity, for the sins of the world, that he was not going to leave them comfortless and lonely and by themselves, But he was going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, that they would receive on the day of Pentecost through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we too must receive the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. Amen. And so we have that same opportunity to receive of God's Spirit, just like they did on the day of Pentecost today. Amen. So Jesus let them know that he was coming back, but he was coming back in another form. And that form would be the indwelling Holy Spirit, which is Christ in us. He said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. When Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, when he died, and Martha came to Jesus, said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then Mary also came out, you know, after grieving and said the same thing. But Jesus told Martha something. He said, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. So a child of God, a saint of God, when we die, we are not dead, but we are asleep. And there's going to be a day when the dead in Christ is going to rise. This is the day that the rapture takes place. The dead in Christ is going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up with them in the air to meet the Lord. Amen. In the air. So the rapture is going to happen. And even though we might, this flesh may go back to the dust where it came from, but for the saint of God, there is going to be a resurrection. Amen. So glory be to God. God is an awesome God. We are going to live forever. Amen. We just won't be in fleshly form, but we'll have a glorified body. At that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That word manifest means make known. When you love Jesus, Jesus is going to make himself known to you. Amen. Amen. Not only is he going to make himself known to you, but he's going to love you. And the Father, you're going to be loved of the Father. And he's going to manifest himself to you. Amen. So God is an awesome God. Judas saith unto him. Now here comes Judas. First we had Thomas. Then we had Philip. Now we have Judas. And he saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So when you love the Lord, you're going to keep his commandments. You're going to do what he says do. You're going to walk in obedience and faith and in love. Amen. And you are going to do your best to be pleasing unto the Lord. Jesus came to do the will of God. He didn't come seeking his own will. He didn't come seeking to be famous or to be known. Every time Jesus healed somebody or did a work, a miracle, he would tell them, don't tell anybody, because he was not trying to take the glory of the Father. And so he's letting us know here that if we love him, we're going to do everything we can to be pleasing to him and to keep his commandments. He said that these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Excuse me. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So that's the Holy Ghost. Is the work of the Holy Ghost, first of all, is to convict of sin. It's also to lead and guide us into all truth and show us things to come. And is also to help us remember what the Lord has already said to us. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is a witness. Amen. To who Jesus and the Father is. They're all one. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus said, "Peace I give to you. Amen. He said, "My peace I give unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus came to give us genuine peace. Amen. Even when the storms of life are raging and things are happening all around us, we can still have that inner peace that only God can give us. We don't have to be moved. We don't have to be shaken by the things that are taking place in our lives or around us. Why? Because Jesus gives us the peace that passes all understanding, even when we go through the trials of life. And again, he reminds his disciples to let not their hearts be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. He said, "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye will rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." So he's preparing them, letting them know that his departure is coming. He's getting ready to leave earth, to go back into the Father, to go back into heaven. Amen. But he's reminding his disciples also that he's going to come again unto them. And he said, "If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." He said, "And now I have told you before it come to pass, and when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me." He said, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. And even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. Now, in these last few scriptures, he let them know. He said, I let you know before it come to pass, that when it's come to pass, ye might believe. He said, hereafter, I will not talk much. This reminds me, like, sometimes when your parents tell you things as you're growing up, and it seems like it's so repetitious all the time, that they're trying to instill certain values in you, amen, to help you throughout life. And a lot of times when you're young and as you're growing up, you don't really catch a hold to what it is your parents are trying to get you to understand. But then when your parents are taken out of your life and they're gone and they passed on from this world, then their words come back to you of what they were trying to teach you all along throughout life. And it's a lot like that with Jesus here with his disciples. He was letting them know. He said, "Now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world," who is the prince of this world? Satan is the prince of this world and the prince of the power of the air. "The prince of this world cometh and have nothing in me." Okay. Jesus was a sinless son of God. He was the only one that could fulfill going to the cross and dying on the cross as the lamb to take away the sins of the world. Why? Because he had no sin in him. No sin in him. Amen. So he was the perfect sacrifice for us. He said, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence." Jesus loved the Father. He was in the bosom of the Father. He is God manifested in flesh, and he is the Son of God and the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. Amen. And so we have that comfort in the scriptures, knowing that we do not have to fear, knowing that one day, amen, even if we die in this world, that one day we are going to be resurrected from the dead, and this mortality is going to put on immortality. We're going to go and live with God forever and ever and ever. Amen. And we can know for sure who we serve. We serve a mighty God. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. Amen. And Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Ghost, they're all one. And so I hope you enjoyed the lesson on tonight out of St. John 14. I read in your hearing tonight, St. John 14 verses 1 through verse 31. And I hope that you enjoyed the teaching on tonight in the Word of God. May God bless you and may heaven shine upon you.